Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Can I get back to football or?
Better believe it. Zach Zaidman on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. An improbable win on a very strange but memorable NFL Sunday. And Zach Zaidman has the aftermath. Hello, Zach.
It's time to play Crisis or Carnival featuring the head coach of the Bears, John Fox.
Well, I think, you know, again, I don't believe in ugly wins. I just, whatever it takes to win. They can't take them from you, you know, so it's, you know, I think there's a lot to be learned, you know, there's a how to win, and, you know, I thought our guys did the things necessary to get us the win.
Yeah, see, you learn a lot about football and the highs and
you.
Lows. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is my win. They can't take it from me. Zach, I got to keep it forever.
How do you guys do it every day, man?
Oh, come on.
How do you not laugh at his face?
Yes.
I think there is a lot of laughter that takes place.
In his face?
But actually pointing at him and laughing out loud at him.
No, you don't do that.
I know.
I mean, it's been a tough run for this regime. I mean, let's face it.
Because they're not good.
They're 10-25. You know, you would have figured that this being the third year, that there'd be a little bit of a core of players that you could kind of build around. And that hasn't materialized because of either injury, poor free agency signings, some poor draft picks. But they're trying to work their way out of it. And it goes back to something that we talked about last week. This is the blueprint for the Bears to be competitive. You know, I've been reading a lot of stuff that, you know, they're a quarterback away. They're not a quarterback away unless that quarterback is the greatest quarterback that has ever suited up in the history of the National Football League, and you give him some receivers that can catch the ball. But what they are is a team that they're coached well, and when they're able to consistently run the ball effectively, they can be in games, and then they need somebody to make a play because it's a flawed team in a variety of different areas. But their defense clearly is better than it's been over the first 2 years of this regime. I think that they're now capable, and I talked about this last week, guys, they're capable now of making a big play on special teams, which really hasn't been the case since the Bears fired Lovie
Smith. Oh, yeah, they can make a big play on special teams, indeed.
Both ways. You know, I mean, before we get to Marcus Cooper Sr., last week there was the Tariq Cohen mistake on special teams. It cost them big time. At least this time they were able to put themselves in a position to score because of their special teams. I think their punting game was important. You know, I was talking to one of the coaches yesterday before the game. They have to play small ball. That's what worked against the Atlanta Falcons. And by small ball, from a football sense, what that means is punishing the other team with the run and being able to run the ball nearly 40 times a game. Yesterday, I think they had 38 rushes, three by the quarterback, so 35 rushes by running backs. And they were able to gain 220 yards on the ground. They had two touchdowns. Jordan Howard had 138 of them and played a big part. That's how that gives them an opportunity to perhaps win. It's not going to guarantee victory, but it'll keep them in games, and that's the only chance they have of putting together the kind of performance you saw yesterday, you saw against Atlanta. Unfortunately, if they turn the ball over, they have no chance, and that's what you saw against Tampa.
Well, week two. Once again, as they did after the first week, the Packers know this is coming now, right? So the question is, does Dowell Loggins decide, okay, now we got him suckered in, and we're going to turn Mike Glennon loose?
No. I think again, there's nothing wrong with the way the Bears are built right now with some of the limitations that they have. They're not limited on their offensive line. And we've seen this now 2 years running where they've suffered some significant injuries on the offensive line, and they've been able to overcome them and still rush the ball effectively. Now, last year they had two really good backup guards in Eric Kush and Ted Larson, who contributed heavily, and they were able to run the ball effectively. The problem that they had last year, they kept having to go to different quarterbacks. Guys were coming in and out, and their defense wasn't as good as it is, at least in the early portion of this season. So I think yesterday, everyone knew the Bears were going to run the ball. Game one against Atlanta, the Falcons knew the Bears were going to attempt to run the ball, and you're just going to have to do it. In listening to Kyle Long today, he was talking about Jordan Howard being able to play through the shoulder injury and do the kinds of things that you saw yesterday. Listen to this.
Yeah, it's, you know, they call it juice. You know, it's juice. When a guy like that walks in the huddle, you got some juice. And you look across from the huddle, and he's nodding at you, and he's looking at you, and we're all vibing off one another. That's when you know things are going to happen.
Mike Lennon?
It's a good feeling.
No, Jordan Howard.
I've been part of offenses here before that have been like that. But it's never been like, you know what we're going to do, and this is what we're doing. Stop it.
If someone ever talks about Mike Lennon
yeah,
like
I'm
that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You have to yell at me mid-cut.
I mean, how could you even possibly
I was hoping that Kyle wasn't on any kind
maybe
of substance talking about Mike Lennon.
Sip the juice. I got enough to go around.
Yes.
Maybe Glennon,
quoting rap lyrics.
Maybe
again.
Just different with Glennon in the huddle.
It's not.
As opposed to outside.
It's about Jordan Howard and his ouchy shoulder.
Speaking of the quarterback, so John Fox today was asked directly if Mike Lennon is the starter Thursday at Lambeau Field.
I think, you know, we're not going to announce our starting lineup, you know, probably till pretty close to game time, but I think that would probably be a fairly proper assessment.
Very eloquent.
Words. Sure.
I think the reason he said that, don't go crazy now, the Trubisky people, here's why. I think that there's a short week to prepare. I'm sure he's trying to get Green Bay to spend extra time on Trubisky. Because they feel that it gives them an advantage during the week. If he really felt like that, that's something he would have said last week. He didn't say it because he knew that it would lead to even more crisis if following that performance against Tampa Bay, he had made a comment like that. But expect Mike Lennon to start. And again, the blueprint is the same. And it's not just continuing to run. It's not considering a punt a bad thing. And they need... this is just to be competitive and to give themselves a chance, not to guarantee victory, but to put themselves in a position to possibly win. They need a big play defensively every single game, meaning you take the ball away, and they need a big special teams play every single game. And I think that is hard to sustain over the course of 16 games, but that's the predicament that they're in.
All right, let's do nuggets and tidbits if you got them.
Oh, man. So yesterday, the idea to go about doing what the Bears did during the national anthem was it came about after a meeting at the team hotel the night before with George McCaskey and John Fox, essentially telling them how they felt, but also telling them that they would support them no matter what they eventually decided to do, but they wanted to see some unity. And they talked about it. They didn't quite know exactly what they were going to do because after that meeting, players broke up and had different meetings among themselves. And I think sometimes we forget that when you say players, you got to remember they're no different than us. And you have the whole spectrum of different views inside that locker room is no different than the real world.
Which is why the idea of unity is a canard. Have everybody express, pick a side, kneel or don't kneel. This idea of trying to create some middle ground of we're going to show some milquetoast unity. I don't care how unified they are. I want to know who's with Kaepernick and who's not.
And I thought in the Steelers situation, just imagine.
Cop out.
With Ali Villanueva, how difficult that must have been for him. Because, you know, here is a guy who has fought in wars. And, you know, so he didn't stay in the locker room. He tried to make the best of that situation. I thought what the Bears did.
From the reports, though, it sounded as if he agreed to and then went out and did that.
He went back on what he told his teammates he was going to do because he wanted to be out there.
Yeah, and I'm not close to the Pittsburgh situation, but in covering the Bears, what I learned is, and I was talking to one player yesterday before they had decided exactly what they were going to do, and it was a last-minute thing, and there was a lot of thought put into it. You know, there was a player that said, you have to remember that the flag means something different to each individual. It's a personal decision. And I thought the way they handled that was, if you notice, there were certain players that everyone locked arms, but there were certain players who decided to put their right hand over their heart, and then they took their other hand and put it over the shoulder.
But again, it's not about the flag. It's not about the meaning of the flag. And it's all, we keep going down in these directions that take us away from what's really happening.
Agreed. But as you know, Dan, part of the problem and why this has escalated to the point that it has is because there are certain people who interpret it as being about the flag.
But that's willful ignorance then.
Right.
Like, we don't allow for willful ignorance to be the cop-out excuse for anybody, especially in the NFL. Yeah.
The thing that...
Because when everybody knows when... And today, Donald Trump's spokeswoman said it's not about race. Yes, it is. It clearly is, because that's what the protest is about.
He brought up NASCAR right afterwards, too, in his Twitter. Like, it's just... Ah, whatever. When is Eddie Goldman going to make a play?
I think the fact that Eddie Goldman's out there and you're not seeing... teams just gash the Bears with the run. That's what he's supposed to do, right? I mean, that's his role.
Hold the nose, take up two blockers. Is that enough?
And he's been on skates the last couple games.
You know, I think that's what I think Eddie Goldman has to do. You would like to see more pressure attacking the quarterback, but these are really good offenses that they're facing, and twice over the last 3 weeks they've been in a position to win games. So from that, and you know the roster that the Bears have. So from that standpoint, you know, I
just asked when Eddie Goldman was going to make a play.
But Dan just told you what his role, his responsibility is.
You're the one that's talking.
He's supposed to get the double team, and then everyone else around him is supposed to take advantage of that and get to the QB, right?
I love you so much.
But I do want to hit on something that, because you often hear this, and I know you guys have heard this a lot. You know, isn't there another way? Other than taking a knee or doing something else during the anthem, but
not
the
right
fact
now.
That
no,
the
not,
fact,
that's not what the protest is.
But the this is what a protest is all about.
Correct.
It's to get people talking, to make you think about what they want you to think about. So it's working.
Yes.
And I think that's lost in all of this. They have a certain platform. This is a tremendous opportunity for players who want to use that platform to get you thinking about what they want.
Yes, if people want to pay attention to racial injustice and endemic discrimination in police work and police policy, absolutely. There are places you can find out about how for-profit prisons have affected some of what happens in this country and how the law is not necessarily equally applied to people of color. And how for the overwhelming number of good cops, there are some who are not so good, and it makes for endangered than others.
Like if we see a surgery gone wrong, and then all of a sudden, like when Michael Jackson dies or when Kanye West's mother dies, we never have to say, you know what? There's a lot of good doctors, though. You notice that? Like, that's not wild to anybody else.
All right, Zach, we're gonna allow you a reprieve and say goodbye.
No, damn it, I was talking to Zach about Eddie Goldman too. No, I'm messing with you.
He's supposed to get a double team, take those two guys up, and then have the guys at the defensive end positions
skates.
And the outside linebackers.
He's been on skates.
Listen,
even without a double team, he's been on skates.
There are a lot of issues with the Bears. Eddie Goldman is not one of them.
I know, brother. Talk to you tomorrow.
See ya.
Thanks, Zach. That is Zach Zabin, brought to you by the Private Bank, now CIBC. The Private Bank is now CIBC. Their name may have changed, but their commitment to your business is now stronger than ever. Visit CIBC.com/US, member FDIC. Yeah, it is true that when you start to say, you know, maybe there are some reasonable issues here that just need to be examined. Zach's right. It has worked. And when the president wants to inject himself into something and then not realize what the clapback is going to be. The other issue, too. And
you know how far away you could stay away from all of this if you're President Trump? You don't have to say anything about this.
No, you might even actually try to help some people in Puerto Rico who are without electricity and food and water.
But you're in Alabama. First thing you think, football. All right.
Roll damn tide.
Right, exactly. You think a lot of the young ruffians that they watch, you know, on is it Kinney Stadium, I believe? What was it?
Yeah.
Was it,
and how about the use of Kinney those Stadium? People and
oh yeah. Oh, the racial demagoguery that went on.
Boy.
It was amazing to me. But, you know, there are a lot of people who are stuck in the sand. Shout out to the people on the text who are probably hitting us with the what about black on black crime.
Text screens,
I'm saying shout out to those people who are probably doing that. The number is 312-644 844-672-6767. We could talk to you about the Steelers and Bears. We could talk to you about all the foolishness that happened this weekend. And I have a new place that I want to go, whether it be by Upside.com or Mitch
Rosen.
Is it
out of this country?
No, it's not out of this country. No. I have a new place that I want to go to watch a football game because I watched it on Saturday, and I was like, this is where we have to go as a team. So we'll do a lot of that before we're out of here.
He's Jason Goff. I'm Dan Bernstein. Dan Pompey is going to join us at 3. We're going to have Rich Campbell at 5, talking about a whole bunch of stuff with a lot going on in the world of sports. That is a world that is probably a different place than I guess it used to be. You've got WSCR, The Score.
36-yard try. This Boswell in the playoffs is 15 for 15. Clutch kicker. From the right hash, angled up, high snap, pulled down, it's blocked by the Bears, into the hands of DeAndre Houston Carr. Who is that now? Can't catch it, it's Cooper. Cooper is into the end zone, and he's hit from behind as he crossed the plane, and it's tapped out of bounds by the Steelers, a penalty marker. He got a little cute at the end, Marcus Cooper, running with the blocked field goal by the Bears, and he was just waltzing into the end zone, but there were Steelers coming from behind.
No, he stopped. he stopped.
Can I run down the chain of events in the Goff household on that play, Dan Bernstein? Dan Bernstein, Jason Goff, Bernstein and Goff Show right here on 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Hey, how you doing? Facebook Live is popping off as well. We will definitely get some social media all-stars from that joint before we're out of here today.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, so... The game's happening. You know, Nicole's watching it, kinda. The baby's asleep next to me in the little bouncy thing, whatever. And she goes, "Hey, meet you at halftime." I'm like, "Cool, yes." I'm like, "Let's go."
Good for you.
Yeah, you know. I'm like, "Yeah, getting my numbers up around here."
So stat day.
Yeah. So Marcus Cooper does that.
He ruined your afternoon?
He's gone. He does that. I'm like, I can't leave the game. This guy's being a buffoon. Hey, Lemonhead! This guy's being a buffoon out here. You got Gumbel going hard. Like Greg Gumbel is like, this guy is an idiot. This is atrocious. He should be banned from the, like, he was going crazy. Trent Green is dingy, so he's like, hey,
nobody,
man.
Nobody knew the rules.
Nobody! The punter's sprinting so he can knock the ball out of the back of the thing. The referee's like, yeah, there's a down of some sort. The Bears get a holding call or a false start.
We have a thing or something.
Like 15 minutes later, I'm like, hey, everything cool? She's like, yeah. No,
she's at the mall.
Yeah. But she's like, I'm done. I'm like, damn you, Marcus Cooper. And then, of course, all your favorite sports radio jocks and NFL fans on Twitter, oh, he's got to be benched. He's got to be fired. You got to cut him immediately.
Cut at halftime.
Make him walk home. And I'm like, hey, y'all, he's still got to play a half of football. Like, people are like, why is Jonathan Anderson putting his arm around him? What does he think this is, the anthem? I'm like, no. He's got to play another half of football. That's one of those things, Dan, where it will never happen to that person again, and it won't happen to the Bears again this season. That's one of those things.
Right. Coaches are going to use that video in every sport to talk about respect 90.
That's one of those things, Dan. Yeah. Hey, the only game my father ever came to in my Fleetwood Jourdain Community Center career in Evanston was the game where he walked in, and I'm like, wow, no one's sticking me right now. Why is no one sticking me? I put the ball up, and 2 points go on the score for the other team. My pops saw that, turned around, and walked out. Like, I saw him walk out. Guess what I never did again? Score on my own basket. Because I paid more attention.
You were open, though.
Dude, I'm like, kidding me? I know I'm not on the scouting report, right. But, like, give a brother some respect out here. But that's never going to happen again. People are calling for him to be cut and benched and all these other things. Like, whatevs, man. All right. That was a funny-ass play.
Bears Daily Update, then an update, and then right to the phone calls.
Time now for the Bears Daily Update. Compete to represent the Bears in the Madden 2018 Chicago Bears Championship. For details, visit easports.com. Hello, I'm Zach Zabin. Here's the latest from Halas Hall.
Lennon starting Thursday night?
I think, you know, we're not going to announce our starting lineup, you know, probably till pretty close to game time.
All right, so I'm being told by people that Marcus Cooper did this last year. It still stands that it won't happen again to him this year. It still stands, even if it happened last year to him.
In Garfield Ridge, this is Rich, and he's on the score. Hi, Rich.
How you doing?
Hi. What up, Rich?
Hey, I was telling the other fella that I'm a 68-year-old, 100% disabled Vietnam vet, and I stand behind Kaepernick and the NFL and all major sports for what they did. They did it with more respect than when I came back from Vietnam. They spitting on the flag, burning the flag, walking on the flag. To take a knee for what they need to do, is that's respect in my eyes.
And Rich, you fought for those freedoms, near and far.
I fought for those reasons, and I'll be willing to bet that most vets that get on the phone, other than the one I heard just a little while ago, would understand that.
Hey, Rich, let me just see if you agree with this. Well, we've got you on the line here, and I want to read you this. An emailer sent this in. And he said, my brother is a veteran, and he said the following: I'd be far more offended if I fought for a country where they didn't have the freedom to take a knee in protest during the anthem. I served in South Korea, and people just north of the border are put to death for doing something like that.
Correct, and I agree with that 100%.
I appreciate the call, Rich.
That is what we fought for. You know, this black and white crap has got to go. I served with Asians, Spanish, blacks, whites.
Big ones, small ones, tall ones, short ones,
stingy ones.
it was a melting pot.
Yes, sir.
We didn't have any kind of race crap. You know,
well, Rich, not in your platoon. Upset, yeah, yeah, exactly. Not next to you.
I'm
but
worried about my kids and my grandkids, because this country's going to hell in a handbag with that knucklehead that's in the White House.
Ah, Rich, we got to make sure that the young ones, you know, save us all. That's all, man. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw a stat.
Cold ones.
Yeah,
hot
stop.
Ones.
That's why I had to stop. That's why I had to stop, because I knew you was going to get on it. I saw a stat yesterday, man, that 22 vets a day commit suicide in this country. 22. And this is what we're really worried about. Like all those things that are going on in this country, and people who don't, like people like Rich, don't have a mouthpiece. Nobody speaks for the vets. After you're done with your flyovers and throwing them up on a jumbotron, you forget about them until the next time.
You get your sponsored little tribute moments.
Yeah, the Department of Defense spent $59 million in 2009 because enrollment in the armed services was down. NFL teams weren't out there for the national anthem. So if you're going to be mad at anybody, be mad at these ridiculous owners who are now going to profit off of co-opting struggle.
Irving Park, Jim, you're on WSCR, The Score.
Hi, guys. You just sort of got into the main point I wanted to cover. But I did want to let you guys know that online is the video of Tomlin's press conference, and he says that it was not 100%, and that the very next question, he decided that it was going to be all or nothing. And the very next question, they asked him about Villanueva, and he said, I expected 100%. And that's where he lost me. This is a man who, whatever side of the issue you're on, went to West Point, which is a very hard school to get through, spent three tours in Afghanistan, and won the Bronze Star with V for Valor, which means you must have did something you were close to getting killed. If he wants to go out there and stand and respect in his way the anthem, what has Mike Tomlin done in his life to tell him no?
It's somewhere in between there, Jim. What bothered me initially was that the stated reason that Mike Tomlin gave to the reporter in the tunnel was that he wanted to remove his team from the discomfort of the public spectacle.
Yeah, he didn't want to have some guys kneeling, some guys standing, some guys not, you know, doing anything.
Which is awful. That's a complete cop-out, and it is treating his adults in that locker room like children, like they're not capable of making an adult choice that they think matters.
You want to be mad at anybody? Be mad at the flip-flopping punk-ass Shady McCoy. That's who you should be mad at. For all the people out there looking for someone to be angry about, because on both sides, Shady McCoy couldn't wait to spew that garbage out of his mouth about Colin Kaepernick and was out there doing calisthenics during the damn anthem. During the anthem, he's out there stretching and doing all his things. So all of a sudden, he got woke. like Doug Collins. All of a sudden, he found some spirituality. And also, Ray Lewis, you can get your ass out of here, too. There's a lot of people who have co-opted struggle conveniently when they found out, oh, okay, this can give me a little bit, this can give me another angle. This can give me a little bit more shine. No, not now. Not now. You a man without a home, Shady. This dude, did you see the video of him? Did you see him? Embarrassing.
Stretching.
Embarrassing. Pick a lane, homie. That's all I ask. And at this point, you know, I think the lane has been picked for you.
Burbank and Jeff on the score. What's up, Jeff? Okay, we're going to let Jeff
figure out that order
what's going on there. And it'll be Mike and Munster. Mike, you're on the score.
I was going to start with something different, but Dan, Jason, thanks for, I guess, making my point right off the bat. Three calls ago, you get a veteran who says, the anthem is very important to me, and you hammer him. And then someone calls.
I don't think I hammered him. How? Let's talk. Mike, let's talk.
That's great.
Well, I told the other veteran thank you for your service, too, since you want to leave things out. Mike, let's talk.
Mike, let Jason talk.
Let's talk. How did I hammer him, Mike?
Dan hammered him.
How so?
By asking him if it was okay for veterans to not only respect the First Amendment, but didn't they also defend the Constitution of the United States? The only reason you hammered him is because
hammered how?
With your point of view.
Mike, hammered how?
With what I just stated.
Was he belligerent? Like, I'm trying to really get to the point here.
I don't know what you're saying. I believe that's stupid.
When someone calls and agrees with you, you just go out of your way.
Mike, hold on a second. We're just talking.
So, Mike, are you hammering us now?
Someone has to try to create at least what, 0.1% of equal balance.
Okay, here, now the buzzwords.
What's equal? Seriously, Mike, if I sat down with you and I had a beer with you, and I said, Mike and Munster, let's go to your favorite.
You don't have any problem with me, Jason.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, dude, I'm telling you, like, yo, I would have a beer with you. And I'd sit down like, yo, Mike, this is what's really going on. This is how I see things. And if I explain to you how I see things and you explain to me how you see things, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. But here's my point. I don't disagree with Kaepernick. He made it very clear after the first time he kneeled in his post-game press conference. Mm-hmm. That he respects veterans, and he meant no disrespect to any of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know why everyone else gets clouded in that issue.
Well, you know
here's
why,
what
Mike.
I think the problem
it's very easy to get caught up in that. That's to divert from and to veer off from the topic is the tactic.
The same reason that just minutes ago the White House spokesperson did exactly that, hiding behind the idea of flag and country and nationalism and military when it has nothing to do with that.
Understandable, but the protest was ill-conceived. Because
why?
The moment he used the anthem, he immediately alienated at least 50% of the population. He never.
But that's the thing. That's the thing, though, Mike. Why am I?
No,
well, hold on, Mike.
More people listening?
Mike, let me ask you. Let me ask you, though, Mike. The problem is for all the people who keep telling young men that look like Colin Kaepernick to find a different way. Those different ways have not worked, my brother.
Don't say that. How much does he make?
Mike, do you think the amount of money that a man makes removes him from any of the dangers and ills in this life?
On an individual basis? Of course it does.
Michael Bennett leaving a casino and having police officers drag him, that his check.
It's anecdotal evidence. Like, we can do that all day. We can go back and
see. But this is the thing. You want there to be something else all day. What I'm trying to tell you is, it is a very dangerous precedent to be set by saying the amount of money removes you from any kind of humanity at all when it comes to these streets or walking around like a citizen. What am I sacrificing? I think I make more than a lot of my friends. Does that mean that I have to sacrifice some of my self-respect and some of my dignity if I'm out there and I'm approached the wrong way by a person in law enforcement? Does that mean that to you, Mike?
No, let me ask you a question. So Jim Brown is wrong?
Jim Brown? Wait, Jim Brown. So now you're down with Jim Brown. Hold on.
It's the point of it. He's doing it at the workplace. He's using the anthem. Right?
If he weren't using the anthem, you wouldn't be talking about it.
No, this is the point.
Yes, it is the point. He's making you think,
Mike,
about it because he used the anthem.
What matters more to you, Americans or the anthem and the flag?
I don't know how anyone could possibly answer that. Human beings.
If human beings matter more to you than a song and a symbol, then you're with him.
So this is my point.
You keep saying that, and you
attempt to say that he would be better served.
No. You are not one to tell him how he would be better served.
It's only an opinion piece, Dan. I'm not writing the guy. The point of all of it is, too, that you guys, you underestimate.
You've got like 50. You keep declaring this is the point, this is the point, this is the point, and yet it seems
Mike,
so scattershot.
Mike, we get to a dangerous place when we'd rather preserve order than have justice.
No, yeah, you're working.
The legitimacy of the protest. It's about trying. How is it illegitimate, though, brother?
So first of all, it's the way, and now it's the legitimacy. So it's not about how. You're saying it's about the essence of what he's trying to say.
No, it's the mechanics. I'm saying.
No, Mike. You know what? Here's the thing. We've given you a reasonable amount of time.
No,
I think
you cut me off every time I started a sentence.
Mike, you've been on the air for 5 minutes and 25 seconds, which is four times as long as the average caller, and you have been given ample. You've been ample time.
I think I asked you some questions, and you asked me some.
You've been ample time to make a focused point.
What are you talking about? Hypocrisy? No, hold on, Dan. What do you mean? What do you mean hypocrisy?
Why don't you have people if you're not going to do a
what other
show?
Side, Mike? There is Mike. There should never be another side when it comes to inequality.
Exactly. What? You want to shut down speech. Exactly.
No inequality, Mike. I'm talking about equality for all people.
Well, Mike, what
are you talking about?
Mike, what is the?
Only if they agree with you.
What is the other side?
What's the other side of equality, brother?
Articulate. Mike, articulate the other side of racial equality.
Let's see. A former president speaks out and gives people the wrong message, and then white police officers begin to be executed in their police cars and at a Dallas police station.
Are you talking about the Dallas shooting? Mike. No. The Dallas shooting? That was an army trained shooter, if I'm not mistaken. So, do you put that on the army?
No. What does that have to do with it?
Oh, okay.
No, does it have to do with it?
Mike.
See, Mike.
Mike, we have to be done now. You did not succeed in articulating the opposite side of racial equality, and why anybody would want to is.
I don't understand.
Ridiculous to me.
I truly don't understand.
I don't know why there's another side to equality. What is the other side? Why do you want to argue for racial inequality? No one wants that. It's our responsibility to not want that.
Well, what we're finding out is that when people...
Everything's code words.
When people hear equality, they feel like their rights are being infringed upon.
But they're not. Jesse's in Hyde Park. He's on the score. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to thank you guys for not just today, but in general. I listen to WFAN and other stations, in other cities as well. You're the only guys, as far as I know, who consistently put this stuff in its socio-political context. It's really important. Obviously, this has gotten a lot more attention than a lot of other stuff that's come down over the last 7 or 8 months. And I love Terry a lot, but I think since you, Jason, came on, the nature of the show has changed. It's gotten a lot more serious. And in some ways, I think it's actually pretty important. And I'd put it to Mitch for letting you guys run with it as well, if he has anything to say about it.
He's been very openly supportive, and even throughout the day yesterday, was texting about how he trusts that we can know how to handle this kind of thing.
Yeah, Terry's emailed me and texted me on numerous occasions and said that he is proud of me and he wants me to continue being myself. Terry was the person that told me a long time ago, never, ever lose my voice. Whatever that voice is, always say how you feel. That way you don't have to lie to the people. There are too many people in this business who lie to people and tell you what you want to believe and then, live other lives. I am flawed. I am a conflicted dude, but there are some things that I will never, ever back down on, and this is one of them.
This segment brought to you by the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help within 24 hours. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-430-4149. 800-430-4149. Top of the hour, we're going to talk to Dan Pompey about the Bears and what we can take away from that, what mattered, what maybe didn't, and how they turned this thing around for Thursday. You've got the score.
Dan, this is from Kevin Williams on Facebook. He says, Jason didn't serve, so since I did, I'll tell you what I pledge to uphold, the Constitution of the United States. I'll be sitting during the playing of the national anthem, and if any fake patriots like you have a problem with it, put your money where your mouth is and go serve. The majority of you fake patriots wouldn't lift a finger to help some of our homeless vets to this day. Unfortunately, a lot of that is true. And you don't even have to be a vet or a member of the armed services. That's the thing, the degrees of American that have been established or being established right now are very, very dangerous. You know, the poor people who aren't in the Army or aren't in the Navy or aren't in the military, they're still American as well, and they don't have a voice. So people need to speak up for them. And for the people who are asking me over and over again about Chicago, what about Chicago? There's a lot of things that you can do. The Inglewood Co-op Garden right there for you. Lawrence Holmes is always at the place. There are peace walks by moms through Inglewood every Saturday. Give us your numbers, and you can come on down since you're all about racial balance and making sure Chicago is a better city. Come on through.
And the guy in Munster that was giving every buzzword and every little dog whistle talking point for you there when talking about how much money some of these guys make, they are not protesting for themselves.
No.
The protest is for people who don't have the power, don't have a voice, don't have a platform. Yeah. They are not doing it for themselves, and Colin Kaepernick gave up his livelihood. Yeah. He sacrificed his livelihood.
Similar to how Carmelo Anthony
is
trying to raise as much money as he can for Puerto Rico because his father is Puerto Rican. Carmelo Anthony can get food, he can get shelter, he can put on AC anytime he wants, but he knows that there is an entire island without agriculture right now, and a lot of people who are hot and starving and getting ready to kill each other for that food and that money and starting to loot, because that's what happens when dire circumstances hit people. And Carmelo Anthony can do whatever he wants because he has the money, but he also has a platform and an obligation to speak out for those people who don't have it.
This segment brought to you by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at TheraWorksRelief.com. Hall of Fame football writer Dan Pompey on the Bears and the NFL next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.